Amen. Amen. It's good to have the Scots in. Where are all the Scots? Angie, Chris, Alex, Sam is downstairs. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. And you know what's funny this morning? Like, this is probably the same message preached three different ways. Because the last three times I've been here, it's probably been a similar type of a message, although this is a totally different thing. But it's, at the end, it's all saying the same thing. You know, sound is very important. You grow a person up from the sound up. How does a person grow? From the sound up. You as scientists, doctors, mothers, fathers, even babies, when they're conceived in the womb, the sound around their lives is very, very important. Would you agree, mothers? What's in the home, what you allow to the sound, whether it's positive or negative, the baby is affected. And you grow someone from the sound up. If you're a kid and you're being told that you're no good, you're growing a kid from a sound up, something that's coming out of your mouth. If you grow a kid from with positive impact and statements, you're also growing a kid from the sound up. You know what? I was blessed with my mom and dad. My mom was such a good fighter that they never really had fights. And I remember in my home, like, there's 14 of us, 10 boys and 4 girls, and between my mom and dad and the boys and girls, I remember, now there could have been more, I'm just saying, I remember at least only 4 fights ever in our home. Now, I know my mom was a good old scrapper, so Willie kept his old mouth shut, you know? He didn't name her the dragon for nothing. But I remember. And I sit with people and you hear arguments, whether, you know, you can have good arguments, don't you, as a husband and wife or friends and whatever. Arguments are not always negative. It's what we do with them that makes them negative. And you can have an argument with your husband. A good old row sorts a lot of stuff out. That's what I think. Don't waste a good row. Make sure it's sorted. But if you're a kid, and you might remember this, if you're a kid upstairs or you're a kid in the room, you hear the argument, you don't know what's really going on because you're hitting like bits and bobs and whatever. But that sound creates something. It creates a fear. It creates maybe this is the way that you actually have an argument, that one dominates the other and there's no... So no matter which way you put this stuff, sound is really, really important because sound produces something. I know in our home growing up, I had 2 really major things, and we would kill each other over this, me and Sharon, and because like we were so adamant about these things. My girls will tell you this. I'm not going to blow my trumpet here because I don't play trumpets, but like the 2 things I've always wanted my kids to go to bed in a positive atmosphere and to wake up in a positive atmosphere. Now, a positive atmosphere to me is not always a positive atmosphere to the kids, because I used to go into their room and sing my head off and pull them out of bed, put them in the car, and they'd be like this and whatever, and trying to create that environment so that they can go to bed in peace and wake up in peace. And it was really, really important to me. And if they went to bed fighting with each other, like, I would really have things to say about that, because that's not the environment we wanted for our kids. But we were always singing. I used to say to Sharon, my house is like fame. Then when they were kids, Naomi used to come out, and if we had a guest, Naomi would do the whole soundtrack of Sister Act. The whole, do you ever hear me singing? And she'd sit there as a stand there as a little one, and she'd do the whole thing. Do you remember, Vicky? And it's no wonder that they're up singing. It's no wonder that it's part of their world to be giving glory to God with their voice and whatever. But it's so important. And you may have things that have been said and sung over you, or you've heard through the grapevine, or you've heard through the wall of a fight. But God has a song and a sound for each one of us that can reverse whether the negative things, but also reinforce and add to the things that were positive in their life through the sound of what happens. You just take 4 weeks ago in France, and the one thing when the bombings went off and the murders happened in France, what did the sound release? Fear. Fear. Even into, like, we have planned to go to Paris next year. I don't know whether we go. Like, who holds our lives in his hand? A terrorist or God? And you have to make that sound. You have to declare that, because this world and newscast is rife with fear. And it makes God so puny when we go, I'm afraid of a terrorist. God holds my days. And if I go in a bomb, I'm going in glory. But there's no one pressing the button, I'm going home. And we have to, and I'm not saying I'm a brave, like, commando or anything like that, but you have to react to a sound with what you believe God has put in your heart. I will live to see the works of my hands. That's what God told me. And you have to, because if not, we're going to be taken by every news thing that comes on, everything that's on the radio, and it will fill us with fear and rob our faith and trust in God, because that's what it does in the end. So how would you make a sound? You let it come out your mouth. So if fear is rife, no, God holds my life. You're making a sound to combat another sound. Listen to what God says in his word. He says this, listen, your watchmen are lifting up their voices. Isaiah 52. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people and he has redeemed Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in ruins. And God was speaking through the prophets. Tell them, even though things look in ruins, tell them to burst forth with joy. Why? Because they were creating their future with what God said he was going to do in Jerusalem, which was to restore it. David, Psalm 40. This is where David was at. He said, my life is like it's in the mud and the mire. You know, I don't know about you, but mud and mire is hard to get out of. He said, my life is in the pit, Psalm 40. And cried out to God. And he heard my cry. Now he could have said, anyway, pray for Sharon and myself. I have a chest infection, but Sharon has a touch of pneumonia this week. And I was sick first, and Sharon then gets pneumonia. And I said, Sharon, why don't you leave me my pity on me own? You have to go and get sicker than me. I wanted to be in the pit. I wanted to be pitied with man flu. And no, you have to get pneumonia. I'm sweating up here. It's from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. What was I saying? You know when you're sick or anything, especially us men with men flu and all that stuff, right? And it's been scientifically proved that there is such thing as men's flu, by the way, guys. And, well, you can stay in the pit. You can stay. And David's life was so upside down at that time. He could choose to stay in that pit. Or he said, I could call out to God. And he turns his negative situation and sticky, slimy, pity places. And he's turned to God and he says, and not only did I turn and cried out to God, but God heard my sound. God heard my cry. God heard something that was coming out from inside, right out onto the outside. And God was listening. And he says, not only did he listen, but he lifted me up out of that place. And he put my feet on a rock. And this is what he says. He gave me a new song. Oh, come on. Your life might be in the pit. It might be in the slime. It might be in the mud. You might think there's no way out. You cry out to God. And his promise is that he reaches down and he takes you out. But he doesn't only take you out. He gives you a new song. Song of God's faithfulness. God can turn anything around. And there's some people, and this is going right into next year, that God is going to turn your pit into a song. God's going to turn your slime into something that you're going to stand on and say, God is faithful. And this is what he says in Psalm 40. He gave me a new song to sing. He put my feet on a rock. He gave me a new song to sing. And many will hear. Many needs to hear your sound and your song. Many need to hear the song that God has put in your heart. David says again, sing a new song to the Lord. God is going to put a new song into your heart. See, we all have a sound theology. Every one of us have a sound theology. All we have to do is just listen to ourselves. Do you ever think of recording yourself and go come at the end of the day and go, wow, is that really me? Is that my sound? Am I that negative? Am I that joyful? Whatever it may be, like, just record yourself. Go over the whole day and go, what was coming out of me? When I pray, am I begging God like I'm some orphan? Or am I coming before God knowing that he wants to bless his children? Record yourself. Record your prayers. Write them down. Is this me? Is that what I really sound like? Well, God wants to turn the negatives, the minuses, into pluses. And he wants to give her something new and fresh to stand on. We all have a sound theology. What is yours? You're reading the Bible. I think the Bible's a big musical. Myself and Ian went to see Handel's Messiah in Christ Church tonight. Very posh. And the alto, which is the guy that sings really high. You know that sound? And any altos in the house? Any altos in the house? Roy Altos. Hey, Roy Alto's in the house. And he's the guy that's in really high, so anyway, me and Ian is sitting right beside the bass and the tenor, like the two deeper voices. And the alto and the soprano was on the other side. We were in the second row. And next minute, your man goes, your man over there, the alto guy gets up and he, whoo, like, you know, really, really. Ian goes like that with his thing. I thought that was the board. We blew it out. Everyone aside us out of the water. Like, everyone was, like, really, really parsing, whatever. But why did I say that anyway? We all have a soundtrack. There's something going to come out of every single one of us. The Bible's full of music and full of expression through sound. God said, let there be light. Sound came from God's mouth and it produced something. Now, we can decide to create our own atmosphere as a person. When we get up in the morning, we put our feet on the ground. It's like, this is a day the Lord has made. I've just established who's the God of my day. I've just established before I put my feet on. And I'm not some holy Joe. I'm not some freaky spiritual person. I'm just like you and you're just like me. We face the same things every day, even most of us. And we can decide. Grumpy jocks can describe to create an atmosphere for the whole family before they get out of bed. Try it. I won't work for me. Try it. And your wife or your someone that lives with you won't know what to have to happen to you. Jesus is buried. The angels come and they let us sound. They sing. They sing. And what they were doing was creating a pathway for the Messiah, to the announcement of the Messiah to be heard. There's a sound in the Bible. You just read it all the way through. There's songs. There's celebrations. There's trumpet blasts playing on the harps and the lyres. And it comes at the time of victory. Some songs have come while before the victory, and some songs have come in the Bible during the victory, or just before they got the victory. Some songs come as a time of breakthrough, and some songs come at the time of revelation of who God is. Did anyone ever know that Jesus sang in the Bible? Jesus, I'd love to know what Jesus sounds like when he's singing. I wonder what his sound is. Is it a bit of bluegrass or soul? It has to be soul, doesn't it? But it says in, they were after breaking bread. They were sitting, he was sitting with his betrayer. And he got up and it says, when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, Matthew 26, verse 30. When they sung the hymns, they were going down to Gethsemane. He was going down for the soldiers to come. And Jesus was like, nobody's creating my atmosphere, I'm creating my own. The Hallel Psalms is the Psalms that he sung. I believe it's Psalm 114 to 118. It's called the Hallel Psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms. He wasn't going down singing Psalm 22, which is about him on the cross. He wasn't going singing about the ones who betrayed him. He wasn't going to sing about Isaiah, about the beard being plucked out or his face being spit at, the creator of the universe going to get nails put in his hands. He wasn't singing them songs. Psalm 118 says, this is the day the Lord has made, and I rejoice and be glad in it. I'm like, this is Jesus on his way. He's like, Jesus, no one killed Jesus. Jesus laid down his life, fully in control. Father, forgive them. No one took his life. He laid it down. He says, well, I'm going to sing on the way. His sound theology was to put his trust in God. And God is going to give you a new song, I'm telling you. It's going to come from somewhere. It's not one of these songs that, you know, you can't get out of your head songs. These songs don't come from your head. They come from deep in. It comes through the pain, the mud, the mire. It comes up from the testimony of who Jesus is in your life. And it comes out in your sound. Come out. And your sound could be, you know, like, your sound could be like la, 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 la for all I care. Because God knows how to interpret the sound that comes from your heart out of your mouth. That's why he's given us strings. Heart strings. That's why he's given us them. And what are they attached to? Vocal cords. Where did it come out of? A beat of the heart. You are an instrument, a musical instrument that God has made to sing his praise and give him glory and honor. And not only to sing it to him, but to sing it out into the earth. And the Bible says that when you sing out to the earth, even the earth responds to the praises of God. Do you know what's inside of you? Do you know what God has made you to be? You're more than you think you are. You have more to say, more to sing into this world than you can imagine. God has put something in you through the brokenness, yet through the pain, because it's out of some of that stuff that we can identify with each other. I have more in common with you, and you have more in common with me through our failures than we have through our successes. We connect at that broken level. But God brings us up out of mud and up out of mire and up onto the ground. Doesn't leave us on the ground, but puts us on a rock. He's like, lifts us up. Boom, 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 boom. I'm in pain. Get me out of here, Lord. We're all in pain, Lord. The mud. I can't get out of here, Lord. Just get me out. I'm out. I'm not only out. I'm on a rock. I can do nothing else but sing. I can do nothing else. That's why Newton heard, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. See, that wasn't just a fancy lyric in a song. Grace has a sound. And when Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, realized the grace of God that was afforded to a sinner, he said, I'm going to let what's in here out of here, and he makes a song. And you have a song in you. Amen. Here's another one. There was a time in the church history. If you ever want to study anything, study church history. It is amazingly warped, funny, cringeworthy. It's just incredible. And who God uses through history. So anyway, there was a man called Martin Luther, not to be mistaken with Martin Luther King Jr., but this was a Catholic priest. And there was a time in church history where the church was using all of its power for political gain. So whoever was the king that's going to win the wars in Europe, the church sided with that king so that they would always be in power. Meaning the Catholic Church. I'm not bothering anyone here or anything. But that's church history. And so when the king would win, they would pray for the king. And when they win the war, they were on the winning side, so they'd be looked at favorably. And not only that, then people... There was certain theology and certain beliefs that was brought back then, like such things like purgatory. People that church said at its time that your loved ones that die, we don't really know where they are. You know what I mean? But you can pray and you can pay me to pray, which was called indulgences. You could pay, and then the priest would pray, because the belief was, which is not true, is that the priest had special powers because they were priests and you weren't and I wasn't. But the Bible says we're all priests, so we can never believe that. That is not true. We're all priests. But because of its belief, the people weren't given a Bible to read because we were too ignorant to read, and most people were uneducated and couldn't read Latin, which the Bible was written in Latin at the time. And that's why it's so important to read your Bible, because men and women died so that you and I could have a Bible in their hand, in their language. Burdened at stakes. Wycliffe was burdened at a stake. He was buried, killed and buried. And he wrote the Bible. And they dug him up, put him at the stake and burned him again. And put him back in. So you and I could have a Bible in our language. Hello. Anyway, God gave Luther a revelation. And he went before them. And the revelation is that you're saved by grace through faith. It's not by works, so none of us can boast. Ephesians, he boom! He's like, it's not by works, it's not by praying, it's not by anything you can do. It's the grace of God that we access by putting our trust in Jesus. Long story short, this is history in three minutes. So anyway, he goes and he says, look, this is wrong. And they was like, so the Pope says to him, okay, we want you to obey our laws and our, and he says, I have a choice. He did sound to make. Obey you or obey God. I'm obeying God. You think that's Luther in the like 14th century or something? You're going to be faced with that stuff. Which sound do I give in to fear of man? Or do I obey God? Do I look well in front of me mates? Or do I obey God? He's no different than him. So anyway, he wouldn't listen to him. And he gets his thesis and he gets hammers and nails, and then he gets this huge paper that he done, and he nails them all to the Wittenberg castle door. And you can imagine every time the sound of a nail going in, boom! That's wrong theology. Boom! It's saved by grace. Boom! And a sound reverbed through the whole of the church, all of the establishment, that a new movement of God happened called the Reformation, where people looked at the church and going, it's not about religion, ceremony, rituals. It's about relationship with Jesus. And he just, his sound, boom, boom, reverbed all the way through. Your sound is important. And one day he was in his house, right? And he heard this click, 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 click. And he got out to his window. And he looks and he goes, sees a blind man. The blind man was walking up with his stick. Click, click, click. Singing scriptures. Just singing songs out to the click. And Luther had an idea. I'm going to write songs. I'm going to create a sound. And they're going to sing my songs. Because they might forget my theology, but they won't forget the songs. Because we love songs. And he started to write scriptures into song, that people that hadn't got the scriptures and couldn't read Latin could sing the song of God and could sing the scriptures of God. And the sound went out. Even the plowboy, even that's the thing, that even the plowboy could have the word of God. And if he couldn't have it physically, he could have a voice sound. And he went and he wrote a great, on his headstone, does anyone know that old hymn? A mighty fortress is our God. Sorry. It's an old hymn. That's what's on his headstone. He wrote that song. His sound was released. Rosa Parks, get up off that chair. You're a black woman. You need to be sitting down the back. The sound came over. No way. It's finished today. They drag her off. She gets put into prison. She goes to jail. She goes to George. She's up in court. They charge her $30 or something like that. She says, no way. Young Martin Luther King, now this is the Martin Luther King that we probably are more familiar with. He's a new Baptist minister, and they're walking around outside the jail, the courthouse, Rosa Parks and people were there, and they were walking out, walking around saying, protest, we're not paying this. And Martin Luther King was thrown into the middle of them. He was just a young pastor that, like, well, yeah, you're up the front. They were singing, we shall overcome. And before they ever overcome, they were singing, we shall overcome. And before the law was ever changed, they were creating the future by a sound that they were releasing. Now, I don't care what it looks like now. This is not what our kids are entering into. This is not what our generations are entering into. And they created a sound, we shall overcome. An old 17th century hymn that was reworked for that time and that era. And they were singing a song. And you need to start singing your song over your generations. Over your kids, what you desire for them, that they shall overcome. Amen? I'm nearly finished. Your song can change the world. You know, there was two kings killed in Memphis. It was Martin Luther King, who, whose voice and whose speech and whose tenacity and whose love for justice changed the world. Another king died. The king of rock and roll died in Memphis. And his sound changed music forever. You know what I'm saying? Sharon and I was in Memphis at Elvis' house, and we went to where Martin Luther King was killed. And I goes up and I pay for my tickets, and Sierra gives me the tickets, and I says, very Irish-like, I said, thank you very much. And the whole day, all I kept saying was, thank you very much. And Sharon said, I bet you that's the first time you ever heard that now. We ended up staying in Heartbreak Hotel. The sound of God. Come on now, just stay with him. There's a sound in us that can change the world. Joshua says to the people, we're going to walk around. God told me to walk around a wall, a fortified city. Seven times, the last day, seven times, we're going to let a shout. A sound brought down a city. Unbelievable. A sound brought down a city. A sound raised the city up to be invaded by the people of God. And you have a sound. And I'll tell you what, like, and love him or hate him. For me, when I listen to Conor McGregor, if you ever listen to him speak and you take all the expletives out. Or I heard him over the last 3 years. He's just become world champion, by the way. 13 seconds. Like, there it is. It's over. Thanks for your $2,000. Or I don't know about you, but when I listen to him, something in me rises as an Irishman. It's like he touched something. And I look at all the young people that went over this time and last time to follow him, all the young men. Because the young men are looking for warriors. They're looking for people to stand up. They're looking for people to let their sound out. But they're following a champion. They're following the warrior. But that's because they're looking for something to follow. They're looking for men to stand up. They're looking for someone to say, I tell you what a real man is, someone who follows Jesus, someone who loves their wife, someone who keeps himself right in regards to people. And they will follow. They will follow because they're looking for someone. They're looking for another man to follow. Listen to them. They're incredible. They're gone over there and they've invaded Vegas. It's our people, that's our men and women that are saying, give me someone to follow. They're giving up on politics, they're giving up on religion, they're giving up on all them things. And they're looking for a fellow with red beard that gets in the ring to beat people up. Because he's something to say. You can achieve your dream if you go after it. You put in hard work and put in tenacity and you can have your dreams. That's his message. And God is calling us to be that, men and women. To the nation and to the city. And if the devil can keep you in the pit crying about our past and crying about what's happened to us, that's our sound, it muffles. But God wants to lift us up this year and he's going to turn your life around and my life around and we're going to have a different song. I know I can feel it this morning. The rumbles is in the place. It's like it's in the underbelly of liberty. It's like, wow, there's something going on. There's something being stirred. You can come next week and you can allow yourself to be in the pit. And then that sound gets muffled next week. Or you can come next week and go, man, I'm letting my sound out. You have something to say. And God wants you to be heard in Jesus' name. Amen? So what's our sound theology today? Here's what the Bible's full of sound. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. That's what he says. If you're in a pit, give thanks. If you're on your way over a pit, give thanks. You might be at the beginning of a victory. You might be at the beginning. Here's what happened with David. Do you know David, when he came up to David and Goliath, he had this, the sling and the stone. Well, the oldest musical instrument that they found is an instrument called the bullrock. And what it is, actually, is a stone on a string. And you might have done this when you're kids. You get something on the end of a string and you go, you know that sound? Woo, woo, something like that. Woo, my one was something like that. Woo, woo, right? And here comes up to Goliath. What's he start doing? Releasing the sounds. He's like, the last thing Goliath heard was, you're going down. We're yelling, timber. Boom. The sound of God, that God is going to put something in you, that your joint is coming against you and he's causing you to go back into your hole. He's calling you to go back into your hiding place, go back into your fear, go back into your pity, go back into your past, go back there. But God wants to put a new sound. Here's what Goliath says. I'm going to send you packing like the rest of them, David. And he comes and says, you come against me with sword and javelin. I come against you with a different sound. It's the name of the Lord. And he starts swinging that yoke and that was only a little pebble. And again, God blessed that. It was a mountain hitting him. Because only in God, it's in Daniel, only in God, hear this one, only in God can you sow a pebble and reap a mountain. Hello. He takes a little stone, Daniel, he rolls against the thing and before the head was a mountain. You say, that's only a little song and all. It's only a little scripture and all. You take that and I'm not coming in today. I'm not going to back down to that fear. I'm not going to give in to that emotional harassment that I'm always under. You ever get it when you're under emotional strain and stress and you try, the first thing that comes out is your Goliath. The first thing that comes out is like, come on, you get comfort in this or you get comfort in that or just back away. You need to get out. I need to get it out. I need to get it out. I need to start swinging and go, come on. God has said we can have a city. Let's stand. I preach me little guts out. Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I thank you for the sound of God. that's in each heart. Come on up, guys. Come on up, worship team. We have great time for prayer and stuff. We bless you, Lord. See, I really moved. I was just thinking there about when the sound comes up out of that pit in their stomach. And it hits off those pains and hurts and damaged on the way up, but it still comes out and we're thanking God. Can I tell you that's the most acceptable thing to God? That praise is the most acceptable thing to God. And that you might sing to God with weeping tonight, but you will sing to Him in another day with joy in your hearts. Because He promises to turn mourning into singing and dancing. He promises to do that. Though tears may come for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He's saying you might be in a season where you're giving thanks through like the pain and the sorrow and the sorrow and the mud and the mire, but you're still giving thanks. And you're not being allowing yourself to be pushed down. You're not allowing yourself to be silent. Someone says to me last week, I pray in my head. Stop praying in your head and pray it out. You're declaring, you're creating an atmosphere, you're creating a future. Your prayers are not just prayers. Your prayers are creativity coming out of you. And when we look at it that way, but I don't see it. That's because you're not praying it into existence. I have nothing. You'll always have nothing if that's your declaration. I have no job. You always have no job if that's your declaration. Then when we hear songs like freedom, we have to say thank you, even if we're bound. Because we're saying this is not the way it's always going to be. We're being the Rosa Parks. We shall overcome. And your voice and your joint will say, but you're not, you're bound. That's today. Wait till you see what God will do tomorrow. I might be bound up like this, but when you see God, when He does something, my arms be like this. And you only see me this way, but I see myself free. Talk about sound. I just heard Sheila's little laugh there. Those who know how to pray in tongues, you need to start exercising that gift. And those who are not, you need to ask God to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Because the sound, that's heaven sound. That's heaven sound in you. Sheila was telling me a story a couple of weeks ago. I hope I do it justice, and if not, but anyway, she was living in Spain, her and Chris didn't know the language or nothing, and she tried to help this girl who was involved in the family. She had a kid, and they used to beat her up, and she ran away and went to Sheila's, and anyway, they were outside the door or something, and they came in vans to get the girl. Sheila didn't know how to call for help. She didn't know the language, Spanish. Just they all got out there. I think they had weapons in their hands, if I'm right, and they're going to take the baby, the girl. Sheila starts praying in tongues. That's all she knew how to do. Starts declaring in tongues. She said she looked around. Every one of them are on the ground. Every one of them. Fellas with the weapons, the mother-in-law, the daughter, the kid. Boom. Sound of God caused people just to be flattened. Incredible. We don't know what to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray. And even things that seem impossible become possible. So Father, I don't know what to even do now, Father. It's over to you. These are your children, Lord. These are the ones that you love, Lord. And you put a sound in each one of them. And Lord, whatever the sound we were raised up with, Lord, would you drown her out with the sound of God, the sound of heaven this morning? That what you feel in your heart when I was speaking, them things that were popping up, wherever it is, I'm not staying in the pew. I'm going to get my song out. I'm going to get it on. I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to get my butt rock out. I'm going to let that noise flow. I might be the best singer, but I'm able to speak. I'm able to make a sound. Just let it come. I'm broken. I'm broken, but I'm going to let that sound. Even if it's a weeping, even if it's a crying, even if it's like the man that was in the tombs in with Jesus' time. You know what his sound was? Bound with chains, bound in. People tried to bind him up and he break chains. He was so full of demonic activity. You know what his sound was? Ah! And God heard him. And Father spoke to Jesus, who was on the other side of the lane. He says, Jesus, does a sound. There's a cry of a man that's bound up. Go over to the other side. And he goes over the other side and the storm comes. No storm is stopping Jesus getting to his destination. He sets the King of Glory, sets foot on the other side. Imagine the reverb throughout the whole land when the King of Glory put his foot down, the demonic activity, the man came running to Jesus. Jesus set him free. It doesn't have to be nice. It doesn't have to be conservative sound. If you want to scream, go ahead. So here we are, Lord. We just lift up our hands to God. Sorry, I have loads to say. Even in the Bible it says you can clap. I don't know what to say. The Bible says clap your hands. Just on your own. Lord, I have nothing to say. I don't know how to get these words out. But I know how to clap. I know how to clap. I know how. The Bible says shout. Shout to the Lord. The Bible says sing to the Lord. They're going to burst down flames out of the inside of you. All them things that's been holding you down. Get before God and say, God, this is it. This is what this is coming from. This is the sound that's kept me down. And you're calling me to be to a sound that's going to bring me out. Sing a song. Whatever.